welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to take a look at the scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. You know, the book of 1 Corinthians is basically kind of a response letter. The Corinthian church had a whole bunch of questions about stuff that was going on in the church. And so when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, kind of chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, it's kind of regarding this. And so it's a response letter to help the church and to instruct the church in some things that he had some questions about. And so we're gonna see his response to an issue here. He said, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So Paul is addressing an issue they had in Corinth regarding spiritual gifts. And he goes on really in these chapters, chapter 12 and 13 and 14, to answer questions in the early church as it related to spiritual gifts. Now, it's important to distinguish these spiritual gifts from other kind of gifts. We know that there are ministry gifts. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, he gave gifts unto men, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the work of the ministry. So those are ministry gifts, like on a Sunday morning, a pastor preaching or teaching. There's a certain element of a spiritual gift to cover that off as a pastor, all right? So there's that. Then there's the graces that God has on each of our lives. There's good works he's ordained us to walk in. All right, and that we're a certain things that he's called us to do, his plan for our life. And it says that he actually, by his Spirit, works in us to will and to do. He gives us grace to do stuff. So we have individual graces and giftings that God will give us in the body of Christ to be able to serve in different ways and to help and minister. But this is a different kind of gifting of the Spirit. What this gifting of the Spirit is specifically talking about is in the verse 7 there, it says in the bottom, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Then he goes on to list the different manifestations. What we're talking about is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It happens, you can see, as he wills, like what we had this morning, tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. We didn't plan, you know, for Jeannie at, you know, 12:28 to say something and then meet. There was no schedule to that. That's just the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's a spontaneous ministry and flow of the Holy Spirit as he wills, not as we will. We don't plan that, you know? And so it's important to understand that there are these gifts of the Spirit. Now, so the early church flowed in these gifts of the Spirit, but there was chaos, there was confusion, there was stuff going on in the church. And they were about to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And Paul said, don't. Let's clarify some stuff. So what he did was, you know, in these next three chapters, really 12, 13, and 14, he describes the manifestations of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, what they are, and then he also gives guidance then on kind of how to flow with the Holy Spirit, how to flow with these gifts that are from the Spirit for the church. Okay, so this morning, this is going to be the first of a two-part series, at least a two-part series, that I'm simply calling the gifts of the Spirit. And this morning, we're going to talk about some of these areas that the Apostle Paul touches on, the operation, the flow of the gifts of the Spirit, some basic guidance stuff as it relates to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and also the importance of these gifts of the Holy Spirit and why they're there. You know, they're not there to be controversial. They're there for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's powerful truth behind these gifts. We're going to look at the importance and the power of these gifts, and then also the accountability that there's gifts. There is an accountability. I like that little picture there. You know, obviously the dove represents the Spirit, and then you got the Word. There's the Spirit and the Word, you know. So somebody says, if it's just all Word, you dry up. If it's all Spirit, you blow up. But if you put them together, you grow up, all right? And so that's our heart, you know. We're going to look at the spiritual side of things, but there's an accountability to the Word, right? And so next week, we're going to look at those nine gifts, all right? We kind of bullet pointed them in the introduction, but we're going to go into every one of them, and you're going to see in the Word of God how they were manifested, primarily in the book of Acts. They walked in these gifts, okay? And so, again, that's next week. We're going to get the specifics. But right now, before we get into the weeds of what's what and how it all works, we're going to go, why? Why are we doing this stuff? Why do we, you know, one of the first things we'll say is that we're a charismatic church. And really the word, you know, spirituals is the charisma. It's the charismatic part of the church service that we would have, the recognition and of the flow of the Holy Spirit. So let's delve into it this morning, and I think you'll kind of see as we get moving along here. The first area, we're just kind of talking about some basic guidance as it relates to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Apostle Paul, now this is 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes we think of, oh, 1 Corinthians 13 is the great love chapter. It is that. It is the great love chapter. But there's continuity of thought in that great love chapter between, as it's connecting 1 Corinthians 12 to 1 Corinthians 14. It's going from here to there, and there's some important transitional truth as it relates to spiritual gifts in the great love chapter that we need to really see and understand as it relates to the church today in 2023 as we're ministering. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So the first thing we got to address is relating to spiritual gifts. Are they for today? What's the span? You know, well, the big theological word is dispensation. It's really just kind of the span of time through which God is moving and doing something in the earth, all right? We're in the dispensation of the church age, but it won't always be the church age. There will come an eternal state when everything is made new, you know, and we are with the Heavenly Father, and, you know, in other words, we're not going to always be trying to get people saved forever. This is a limited time only offer for salvation, and then the end will come, all right? I mean, this is if you don't know Jesus, now is the time. This is your opportunity to make a decision for Christ, because this is not going to be forever. There's coming a time when that which is in part will be done away, all right? So we can see here the continuity of thought here between prophecies, tongues, knowledge, and we do those things in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which... So the question is, has that which is perfect has come, has it come yet? All right? Because at the time when that which is perfect has come, then we won't need those gifts of the Spirit anymore. All right? And people have different beliefs about this. Again, people divide the word different. And let me just say this, good people who love the Lord just as much as we do can divide the word different on some of these areas. In other words, their dispensation, they recognize the gifts of the Spirit, but it was more for the early church. They don't recognize it for the entire church age, just kind of the early church to kind of get the early church going. You know, kind of that spiritual kickstart to get it going, all right? But what do we believe about that dispensation, that time that these gifts are to be in effect? It says, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So let's find out more about that which is perfect. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, this is the part time, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, talking about the perfect, then face to face. Now I know in part, the part stuff. But then, when that which is perfect has come, I shall know just as I am known. Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So there's the first elephant in the room we want to talk about as it relates to spiritual gifts is the timing. Are they still for today? Has that which is perfect come yet? Has that event happened yet? When that event happens, you are going to know fully even as you are known. Do you know fully even as you're fully known? No, I don't know. Again, people can attribute that which is perfect to being the Word of God. Different theological beliefs, all right? I'm just putting that out there to kind of represent different things that people believe. Good people love God, like I said. But what we believe as a charismatic church is that which is perfect hasn't come yet, that I'm still looking in a mirror dimly. I still need these gifts. Then I'm going to know face to face. Spiritual gifts are important. And again, I know we can do weird things, and weird things have been done in charismatic stuff and circles. Man, I've been around this for 40 years, all right? I got stories I can tell too. But it doesn't do away with the Word of God. It doesn't do away with the fact of the Word of God. It doesn't do away with the truth of the Word of God. There's a lot of fruit I can tell too. Good stuff that's happened. Breakthroughs, healings, guidance, supernatural things that have come through gifts of the Spirit. In fact, there's a lot much, much more good that I've seen and can tell and testify of the blessing and the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. It's powerful. It's amazing. Now, when you look at it, though, I think probably one of the things that people can do with the gifts of the Spirit, maybe just human nature, people can get into pride about stuff, get into pride about anything, and then it turns other people off. Spiritual gifts are not a credential. They're nothing that means that you're more spiritual at all. In fact, there may be a yieldedness to spiritual gifts, but it doesn't mean that you are walking in love and forgiving and, you know, letting the Lord be Lord because you experienced a gift of the Spirit, all right? So it's important to understand gifts of the Spirit don't mean that you're, you know, you got your bear patch. Or, I don't know, I was in Cub Scouts. I think it was your cougar, your wolf, your bear, different things like that. It doesn't mean that I'm wearing something. I speak in tongues. No, not at all. These gifts, and we're going to, again, look in more detail what they are because they're kind of categorically doing different stuff. But primarily, these gifts are communicating something from God to man. They're devices that are being used while we're still in the part range for God to get stuff across. You know, if you're having breakfast with somebody and you're hanging out and you're chatting and you're catching up and you're sitting across the table from each other, you can just look each other in the eye and talk. You're probably not going to be on your phone texting back and forth to each other. Or emailing back and forth to each other. Why? You don't need to email. You don't need to text. You're face to face. You can talk. When you're face to face with Jesus, when that which is perfect has come, you know, I'm seeing through a mirror dimly now, but then face to face, I don't need a tongue and interpretation of tongue if I'm face to face with Jesus. When that which is perfect has come, I don't need spiritual gifts. It's like when we're hanging out for breakfast. I don't need to text you. We're there. I don't need to email. They can be really cool, convenient devices when you're not present together to get a message across, but it's temporary. And God has given us these different vehicles to get what's in his heart across. By the Spirit, but it's temporary. It's not forever. It's a structure that's serving this period of time now. But there is coming a time when that which is in part will be done away, and I won't be looking through a mirror dimly anymore. I'll be looking face to face, and I'll just intuitively know. You know, right now, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. The Bible already says, you need not that any man teach you, for you know all things because of the Spirit that lives in you. You don't know all things because of what's up here. You know all things because of who is in here. And you're discerning things as he's leading and guiding you into all truth. You got the flesh, the world, and the devil, and all that stuff you're navigating to get in tune. But you're in the presence of a holy God, no flesh, no world, no devil, glorified body. That intuitive knowing, you're going to know. You're not even going to, when you see somebody in heaven, it could be your great grandpa, and you've seen those old pictures, and see this young looking guy, you're not going to have to say, is that so? No, you're going to just know who's who and what's what. You'll know because he knows and he's in you. There's coming a time when we're not looking through a mirror dimly. We're not running, calculating. We're just intuitively knowing and we're living from that place. But it's important to contrast these two places because when you recognize that you're still living in the part, the dim mirror part, you recognize our need for these gifts, for God to get stuff across to us in the moment that are going to be powerful. But you also see we have a part to play. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We're called not just to know about them, we're called to be intentional, to intentionally desire spiritual gifts. This is where, again, the devil and God are so different. You know, the scripture talks about in James 3, there's demonic wisdom, and then there's the wisdom from above. When it comes to demonic wisdom, you don't have to pray and ask for demonic wisdom. The enemy is a roaring lion who is coming at you, and you're trying to make yourself stop to think thoughts you don't want to think because of that roaring imposition on you. That's the way he does the mind. He comes at you. God doesn't communicate that way. If you want to hear from God, he invites you to set your mind on things above. There's going to be a volition. There's going to be an act of your will. There's going to be a stop doing what you're doing and setting your mind on things above. If you're going to function in spiritual gifts, there's going to be a desiring of spiritual gifts. There's an invitation to the Holy Spirit to use me. This is just the different nature of the enemy and our God. So our God asks us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. He tells us to make a step. You know, it takes faith to desire spiritual gifts. There can be some reasons not to desire spiritual gifts. Not be judged, not to be misunderstood, not to be accused. Because spiritual gifts, you begin to desire them. God begins to use you, move in you. Man, it's powerful. So there's a decision we've got to make ourselves. What day am I living in? Am I living in the part or am I living in perfection? I'm living in the part. Now when the part is done away, then those things will cease. But for right now, they're active. They're available. They're powerful. And again, why is it such a big deal? I love this story. There was a story of, the disciples are in the book of Acts, of course. Early on, they got in trouble, I think, for getting a man healed. So they had to give an account. And of course, they said it was faith in Jesus' name. And they were commanded, don't you preach in that name anymore. And they were whipped and beaten. I think they gave God glory that they were worthy to be persecuted. Wow. You know, Paul put it this way. He said, I want to know. He said, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. If you're not afraid of the fellowship of his sufferings, he can trust you with the power of his resurrection. And you can see these guys, they were counted worthy. They didn't have a victim complex on their shoulder about their persecution. They thank God that they were counted worthy to be persecuted for his name. I mean, beaten on the back, all right? This isn't just name calling. This is you're getting your back broken and whipped and that kind of thing. But you can see a heart here. And these guys, when they went back to their own company, they got beaten, they got humiliated, they were told to not preach in that name. What did they do? They went back and they prayed this. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. These guys desired spiritual gifts. They desired the move of the Spirit. They desired gifts of healing. They desired those utterance gifts that could speak the word of God with boldness, supernaturally. There was a desire. And you see how they responded to persecution that way. You see, when you get into the world and you try to play the world's game, and all of a sudden, if they've got to play the Pharisees' game at that time, then it's like, oh man, if we say this, then they'll say this. If we do this, then they'll do this. And all of a sudden, you're in this little game of, I can't seem to how to figure out. And grant that miracles may be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. May there be a manifestation of the Spirit of God. We desire spiritual gifts, Father God, for you to confirm your word. That's the answer. That's my argument. You're arguing. You're not arguing back here. You're making your argument in the Spirit. Because this is where things change. You see, the Apostle Paul, he said, the Corinthian church, he said, brother, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined to not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Corinthian church were the thinkers of their day. They would go around thinking up stuff, new religions. And he answered that. He came there knowing his audience, and he came there with the power of God. His answer was a demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. He desired spiritual gifts. Those apostles desired them, and it became a part of the prayer life. So I'm not just calculating and reasoning and how do we get out. There's another dimension here that has to be recognized in the realm of the Spirit and spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts, when you begin to, we'll look at it a little bit more next week, a lot more next week, but these spiritual gifts answer the argument. You got the woman at the well with Jesus. She's saying, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. You know, us Samaritans say we got to worship on this mountain. You Jews say we got to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, you know. Who's right? You know, who's wrong? Da-da-da. And he has that conversation with her. And but by the end of the conversation, you know, as he's having that conversation with her, he's saying, God gives him, the Father gives Jesus a word of knowledge. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're right in saying you don't have a husband. He said, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. What is that? We'll find out next. It's a word of knowledge. It's a supernatural knowing of things that you have no way of knowing but by the Spirit of God, of things in the present time. What happened with that simple word of knowledge and that communication? She goes back to the city and says, come out, see this guy who told me everything about me. The whole city comes out. They hear him preach, and they told the woman, it says, now we believe him, not because of what you said, but because of what we've heard for ourselves. How did this big Samaritan revival happen? A word of knowledge sparked the whole thing. Answering the argument, the age-old religious answer, circular answer, and you got the apologetics and all that stuff, and all of a sudden something about a gift of the Spirit breaks the circular argument. God's in the room. Let's hear what God is saying. Let's see what God's doing. Yeah. That's part of these last days. That's part of how God's going to answer things in these last days. We got to desire it, though. We got to desire spiritual gifts. We got to cooperate. We got to desire for Him to move in that way. That's what we're called to do. Desire spiritual gifts. The apostle, why are we here? We're a bunch of Gentiles who came over into this new covenant. You know why it happened, large in part? Because a guy named Peter, the apostle, had a discerning of spirits He's just on the top of his roof, and all of a sudden he sees into the spirit realm and sees this great sheet drop down from heaven. And there's animals on there that for a Jewish person would be unclean. And the voice said, "Slay and eat, Peter." He said, "No, Lord, nothing unclean is going to pass my lips." And he saw that vision three times. And then right about then, if you kind of know the rest of the story, a guy named Cornelius, who was a Gentile, who needed God, had also seen something, sent a delegation over to Peter's house. And when Peter saw that vision, he realized, wow, maybe God wants to bring the Gentiles into the family of God too. He had that discerning of the Spirit. It's a vision that comes through the discerning of the Spirit, seeing into the spirit realm. He saw that. He went over to Cornelius' house. He preached the gospel. They all got saved. And then he gets in trouble. And then he has to go and explain to the Jewish brethren how you could do this. And he says, "I was on my rooftop and I saw something." You know, it was that vision, the Apostle Peter seeing something powerful that broke in the minds and the hearts of the apostles. The Gentiles are coming into the kingdom too. Of course, Paul's coming in around that time, and all of a sudden it makes sense and it works. But that's a spiritual gift from heaven where God is answering questions. That was their question. Gentiles coming into the kingdom? A spiritual gift ultimately settled that question. There's going to be some things as we desire. You could get into some jams, and you can get some supernatural insight because you're desiring spiritual gifts to know things that you need to know. And the Holy Spirit will show you things, some things supernaturally. You're not leaning to your own understanding, but you're desiring spiritual gifts. Again, we'll get into next week all the different ways they manifest. But we need to realize and recognize, and we're going to walk through the book of Acts, how God has done things through spiritual gifts through his church. Things have broken. Atmospheres have changed because of a spiritual gift. The Apostle Paul on Malta, Publius' father is sick with dysentery. And Paul goes and ministers healing to him. Then they have a healing revival on the whole island because gifts of healing that were moving through the Apostle Paul. It's important to understand these gifts of the Spirit are important. They're keys that can unlock things. They're keys that can cause somebody to see something they can't deny is real. And it sparks things in the earth. Gifts of the Spirit, they're important. We need to understand that it's God's plan, it's his purpose, but we also have a part to play. He's not going to just zap us arbitrarily. There's a desire for those spiritual gifts. Praise God. If you see somebody functioning and flowing in the spirit of, in a spiritual gift, it's not against their will. There's a desire there to flow. If you see that. And then the other side of this I just want to talk about too is accountability. Because we've got the flow. We've got a desire. We're hungering. We're desiring. God, move. Have your way. And again, when it comes to spiritual gifts, we'll take a look at this. He says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills." Right? In other words, it's the Spirit of God who ultimately is the willing. My will is involved. I've got a desire for spiritual gifts. But when it comes to the distribution of spiritual gifts, it's not my will. It's as he wills. These aren't, like we said, they're not credentials. They're not party games. They're not little things that we play around with. These are sacred, precious manifestations of the Holy God, Spirit of God. We don't use them for our influence. We don't use them to try to bring credibility to what we believe or our agenda or all that kind of junk that can be done. We're open-hearted. We're listening. And we're doing what God shows us to do. That's how Jesus functioned. Jesus didn't just say what he wanted to say. He said, "I don't speak on my own authority. Whatever he tells me to say, that I say." So Jesus brought himself under submission to the Father. When it comes to spiritual gifts, they are not as we will. They are as the Spirit wills. And that's when it's powerful. That's when it's blessing. That's when it will lift a service. If somebody's trying to prophesy or do something out of their soul, it won't have the same edifying, building up effect when it's just coming from up here. And you're trying to use the credibility of prophecy to add to what you already just think. You know, you might think something, but that doesn't just give you the right to prophesy it out just because you're thinking it. There has to be a witness of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will witness to you, will witness to your heart. You know, I remember the first time I was ever used in a way that was prophetic in the church, when the church kind of gave that space for the flow of the Holy Spirit and for the gifts of the Spirit of God to move. And I just remember having, because I get stuff in a service. You know, I get stuff in the service a lot. In fact, there's two things I just put on my phone, right, and there was two words. One of them was just for me, and the other one was for all of us. You know, so I knew I had a word before there was ever even a tongue. I knew that. And so I knew the heart of what was going to happen there. It was just like that flow of tongue interpretation of tongues. But there's stuff that you're going to get, you know, but it's as he wills. And so he's going to give you some things by his Spirit. But as you're kind of learning, how do I know? You know, you're in worship and you're getting something. So is that just for me or is that for everybody? You know, sometimes you're learning at this. Sometimes you're trying to figure it out. But there, I remember just that witness of the Spirit. I could just sense in my spirit that it was something that was bigger than just for me. It was like a word. It was an unction of the Spirit. Because I know what it's like to get words, and that's cool. But there's a distinction, I'll just put it that way, when you're getting something. And it's like, you know, for me, the first time was like my heart was beating out of my chest. It was like, wow, this isn't just a word. It's a word for tonight. It's a word for the service that I was in. And there's going to be some learning in this. There will be definitely some growing in this, and that's why there's a flow and an order to the service. We'll kind of get into that. But it's important to understand these things are done as he wills, not as we will. So, and kind of say that to say this too. Let's say you have a service where God wills to do some amazing, cool, awesome stuff. Maybe there's gifts of healings. Maybe there's tongues, interpretation of tongues. Maybe there's a prophetic word. Maybe somebody has, maybe you have these gifts just go in really big manifestation. Sometimes an error that churches will get into is like, wow, this was so awesome. Next week, we got to outdo this week. No, you don't outdo this week. If you never have a tongue and interpretation of tongue or anything for 2 months, that's okay. Look at us. Look at our church. Yeah, we. If that spirit is in here, that quenches the Spirit of God. We can't have that. And that's why we got to have this work before you can have the move of the Spirit of God in some ways. We got to get the air clear. It's not about us. It's to the edifying of the body. It's the edifying of the body of Christ for his glory. And so this is where you're realizing that, yeah, we're just taking it, you know, for us in this context, Sunday by Sunday. You know, we're not trying to outdo last Sunday. We're just trying to hear what God wants for the service for today. If you don't, you measure it, you know, what's the key thing is God's getting, what are those gifts? They're getting something from God to us. It's his temporary texting email service that he's getting that. Whatever that is, that's what we want to get. We're not writing the emails, the texts from him. He's distributing them as he wills. He's hitting send as he wills. But he needs people that are open. He needs people that are willing to receive, right? And that's kind of where it gets into some of the other aspect of this too, where Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Because God could want to do some stuff, but if we're not desiring spiritual gifts, we can shut it down. You know, maybe you don't want to go there. Maybe you don't have to deal with the stigma. You're one of those churches that goes there and does that. Yeah, well, there's some decisions that you got to make by faith. Lord, am I going to desire spiritual gifts or am I not going to desire spiritual gifts? And again, there's no pressure on me to have to even do anything. I'm just desiring spiritual gifts in a way that I'm saying, I'm available, Lord. If you want to distribute something as you will, my way, here I am. That's all I'm doing. It doesn't mean I've got to put on a bunch of stuff or try to do something. No, I got to try to prophesy. No, you don't have to try to do anything. All you're doing is just keeping an open heart. Okay, Lord. And that's what we just want to start. Just open hearts, open to the Spirit of God. So when the Spirit does move, he can manifest. There's no quenching of the Spirit. It's all about him. It's all for his glory. You know, but this is where the Apostle Paul had to bring some correction to the Thessalonians. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Why do you think people would despise prophecies? People can get in the flesh with prophecy. And they can get up stuff and you're hearing some things and it's just, you might know that it's just what they want or what they're doing, or and it can, or may, sometimes people get over into personal prophecy in some areas that can direct people's life and thus saith the Lord, and you can see people lives get off track and get off. I mean, people can be really destructive with this. Bad stuff. And it can cause you to, oh, and you see somebody getting ready to prophesy. Oh, boy, here we go. I have a prophecy, you know, oh, brother. And you can cop an attitude toward prophecy to where you despise it, or even with a lot of the prophetic moves. There can be some prophetic things that are good. There can be some prophetic things that weren't right. And you can say, oh, prophetic, yeah, it's, no. We maintain a healthy, good attitude toward the prophetic, toward prophecies, toward the gifts of the Spirit. We are not to despise them. I don't care who did what or who said what. It doesn't give us the right to despise prophecy because God is still sending those texts. He's still sending those emails. You know what I mean by that? He's still communicating supernaturally through those prophetic giftings, even if people might have written some of their own and sent them. It doesn't mean that he isn't still sending them himself, all right? Amen. I'm just saying, we got to maintain. And this takes faith. It takes faith to go there individually, and it takes faith to go there as a church. But the enemy's ratcheting up his game. God's ratcheting up his game. There's some places that we're going to begin to go and move and flow as God is doing what he's doing. There's going to be responses to arguments that may come out a little different than what you thought. God loves people. For him, it's all about the harvest. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Satan blinds the minds of this world. And God answers in a way that unblinds the mind and causes them to see that God is real and he loves them. He'll answer the argument not in a way that makes you look brilliant. He'll answer the argument in a way that shows that he's real. And that's what we're going to be open for. That's what we're praying for. God, we desire the gifts of the Spirit. We desire whatever that looks like. We're not dictating. We're not going back to even the previous revival and we got to do what they did. No. That's kind of like the whole church service thing, you know? I don't have to outdo what we did last Sunday. You don't have to outdo what the previous revival was. It's fresh, it's new, it's now, it's whatever God's going to do. We're keeping an open heart, whatever that looks like. Father, show us, lead us, guide us. I don't want to quench the Spirit. I don't want to despise prophecy. I want to keep an open heart to what's going on. As we're doing that, as we're moving forward, there's an accountability there. There's an accountability that we don't get jaded towards spiritual things. Yes, we're human beings. Things can, will, do get off track. I appreciate, you know, the guy I really minister or received training under, Kenneth Hagin. I would see him in an audience in Tulsa Civic Center with 10,000 people, and he'd come to a person that he had a word for, and he'd give him that word, and he said, now, He said, first of all, I'm a human being. I can miss it. He didn't just say, I can miss it. He said, I have missed it. But this is what I'm hearing the Spirit of God showing me. If it bears witness with your spirit, go for it. You do what God is showing you to do with that. There should be some deference and some humility in the way we communicate, especially when it comes to that personal prophecy thing. You think you got a word for somebody. There should be some humility and say, this is what I've got in my spirit, I'm sensing. There's always that freedom, because it doesn't say as many as are led by personal prophecy, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. And nobody comes on with their strong prophetic gift that causes you to no longer to be able to listen in for yourself. If you can't do that, then you've got a new Lord, whoever they are. That's part of the lordship of Jesus Christ, always having the freedom and the liberty to check something out in your own spirit to see if it bears witness, to see if there's a peace, to see if there's a go, if there's that green light by the Spirit of God on the inside. And again, we're just kind of saying these things to just bring some clarification to some of these points as we're walking through it. We'll get into a little bit more next week too as we get into the specific giftings, but it's important to understand here when it comes to accountability on a personal level, if you're ministering it or if you're receiving it, It's ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the witness. You know, I like the scripture that says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he'll stand or fall. As we're ministering prophetic ministry or personal level, we got to remember they're not our servant. They have a master. We're not the master. We're maybe passing along a text from the master to them or an email that God can and do give through people, and it's a blessing and can be good. Again, there's bad stories, but there's a lot of amazing good stories too, all right? So we got to realize that we got to keep our heart right. Regardless of what's happened, we don't despise prophecy. We don't lump it all together. But the other aspect of this too, and this is really where it comes to accountability, is this, where Paul says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Remember that people who prophesy, this is New Living, are in control of their spirit. All right. The Passion says, keep in mind that the anointing to prophesy doesn't mean that the speaker is out of control. He can wait his turn. Again, this is a part of the nature of the Spirit of God versus the nature of the enemy. It's the enemy who wants, that's what addiction is. You can't control. That's not the nature of God. He'll show you some things, but you maintain control of your spirit. And this was an important distinction that the Apostle Paul needed to make concerning spiritual gifts for the Corinthian church. Now, we're not going to get into that whole chapter right now, but people were speaking out of turn. People would stand up and just blurt out in tongues in the middle of a service when the service really wasn't that part of the service to do it. And he said, well, you know, you're giving thanks. Well, I mean, it's the gifts, but it's out of order. And God isn't the author of confusion, all right? He isn't, but of peace, as in all churches. And so we can see that there is an order that God is going to do. Like I said, when I got two words this morning. One was for me, and one was for the service. But both times I got those, I mean, I pulled out my phone and I just put some dots. If you've ever seen me on my phone during a worship service, I'm not texting somebody. I'm not calling somebody. Because sometimes I'm preaching, and I see you guys do the same thing too sometimes. You get it. So no judging in any direction, all right? So... But that's just a great way. It's just a great way. I'm not going to forget it. I got it on my phone, and, you know, and my phone's with me, so it's there. It's fresh, so I don't mind it, you know, whatever either. But I got a couple things. But the cool thing is when I got that stuff, I never lost control. I got to say this now. I got to stop everything. Stop everything. No. Do you know why it would have been wrong for me to just all of a sudden stop? Because you don't just get a second sermon here. In the preaching of the word, you're getting a second sermon during the ministry of worship. You're getting a whole second sermon there. And this is why at Door of Life, you know, this is finish up with the final scripture here. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid them to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. The Passion says, doing all things in a beautiful and orderly way. Order does not represent quenching the spirit. It's scriptural. This is regarding spiritual gifts. This is the concluding verse of this dissertation of 12, 13, and 14, the last verse of chapter 14, decently in an order. It's not cheating. It's not man. It's not the pride of man to have an order or a flow. It isn't. It's the scriptural oversight that lets things be done in an edifying way that doesn't bring reproach to the move of the Spirit of God. Things are done decently in an order where you come from that service and look what the Lord has done. So at Door of Life, we have an order. We'll have the order of worship where we're basically flowing, we're listening. Now, as far as the worship team, is they're getting things in their spirit? Yeah, absolutely. They're flowing, they're doing different things. But in terms of us as a body, in terms of gifts of the Spirit, we're getting things. I got some stuff in my spirit, but I don't lose control. You know, I can even when you know there's a tongue, you don't lose control. There's a weight, there's a flow, you're getting things, but because you're getting things in worship. I've had that too. I've had it, you know, sometimes, and I've, you know, through Door of Life, we've done it some different ways. And this is kind of where through the years, I've just found the most effective, efficient ministry of the flow of the Spirit for me, because I can be in the middle of, I'm getting something, and then we're off in another direction. And it's good, it's not bad, but it's just like I lost the continuity. And so all of a sudden, am I listening for the Holy Spirit? Or if there's a pause and there's going to be something, and it's like all of a sudden, I'm kind of like a little PTSD in my spirit because I'm going, what am I doing, you know? There's a pause. Somebody's got to say, no, you don't have to say anything. Sometimes you can just be still and know he's God and listen and receive and enjoy that in worship, right? And that's just an order and a flow. Praise God, and we're getting it. And you're getting some stuff. You have control of your spirit. You're holding on to some stuff. Like I said, I held on to some stuff against some stuff you won't even know about. It's between me and him. But then, you know, the spirit of God is subject. The spirit of the speaker isn't out of control. I'm in control of my spirit. Then we come over to that flow of the spirit. And I'll just kind of stop, and I'll wait, and I'll just pause, and I'm listening, you know? I'm listening to see what is going on, you know? Like, I know, and we're going to get into more what tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all that is specifically. We're going to put that under the microscope. Are you translating every verb and every symbol? We're going to get into all that. So you got to come back next week to get into, and let's see it. We're going to get into every gift, but it's important to understand there's a flow. There's a decently in an order flow where you're getting things by the Spirit, and again, there can be... Like I said, I've talked to David and Jody about this as far as worship team and flowing, and they have a freedom and a liberty as they're getting things in their spirit. And a lot of times they're getting things, and it's just the continuity of flow back, even just Jody getting that word about stepping out of the boat and just, and you know, in the Lord, I'm with you no matter what, in that, just that sense. And it was that full trust. And I had already gotten something in my spirit about just full surrender, you know, in my text that I had gotten to the Lord about, you know, that. Just for the sake of demonstration and example, this is what I said. First, thanks, Scott. I know you believe me. All right. This is all it said. First placed, next thought, word, action. Lord, your will be done. What I say, what I hear, what I do, what I see, no fear of the greatest commandment. I just got that in my spirit. Right, you know, about the time Jody was getting that word about stepping out of the boat. It's just that full trust, the full weight of your heart going on that water. Okay, here we go again, Lord. You might have sunk. There might have been something, but he rescued you. I'm going to get out. He brought me to the boat, but I'm ready to get back out of the boat and to trust him again. And so that was something that I had gotten right around that time. So there is that flow. There's a flow of the ministry team that they're doing on here because that's within the flow of the ministry of worship, all right? But then when that flow is done, then it becomes more open to the body flow of the ministry of the Spirit. So that way you know as you're worshiping and as you're listening and you're getting things, you're getting that second sermon of worship. And then as the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the gifts flow, you're getting the second sermon of the gifts of the Spirit. And then right now in the Word time, there's a second sermon. So things are being done decently and in order. And there's an order and there's a flow. And there's peace that comes with that. Now, does that mean every pastor has to run their church that way? No. That's the way I've prayed it out as the pastor of Door of Life Christian Church and the way we flow with it. And I've tried different things at different times. But that's just kind of our flow, the way we go, that's our order at Door of Life Christian Church. The Bible says of a pastor, take oversight of the flock of God, which includes facilitating the order of the flow of the Spirit too. So that's the way we do it. Is that the way every church has to do it? No. Pastors can be different in the where approach to that, and that's okay. It's not right or wrong. It's an order where there's a flow, and it's good, and you're getting things, because at the end of the day, it's the edification of the body of Christ. So gifts of the Spirit. What we're just talking about this morning is kind of the guidance and the accountability. There is a flow of the Spirit of God. And you can kind of know, when you know that flow in that order, then you can know to hook up. It's not author of confusion. It's not hodgepodge. There's a flow within it. And yet there's a spontaneity in it. All right? Spontaneity doesn't mean no order. There's a spontaneity and a flow with an order. And that's where we're going. Because as we begin to get into some of these gifts of the Spirit, some of you may recognize that, man, I've experienced that. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know what the name of that was. And that's why the Apostle Paul started out the whole dissertation by saying, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And praise God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to do just that. We're going to grow up spiritually as it relates to understanding some of these gifts. Because like I said, some of these gifts can be the answer to the argument. Behold their threatenings, Lord. Grant that your servants may do wonderful things in the name of your child, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Father, for your Spirit, for your word, and for these gifts that you've given to the body of Christ, Lord. These aren't gifts that we made up or that we manufactured, but these are gifts that are in your word clearly. And your desire is that we would come behind in no gift unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, That's our heart too, Lord. We don't want to come behind in any gift. If there needs to be any one of these manifestations, Father, that there is place, there is expression, that you find a people desiring them, that you have a place to send these gifts to, Father God. That's the purpose in our heart, Father God, that our hearts would be open. And I know this might be new to people and some people, and I just pray, Father, that as things are just churning and going around, different thoughts, different insights, I just pray for each one of us, Lord, that you'll just continue to show us, give us light in these areas. Holy Spirit, you've been sent to lead and guide us in all truth. I just pray, Father, for further witness, clarification, understanding, that our church, this precious Door of Life family, will be a family in sync together, desiring, Father God, your will to be done. Each service, each time we get together, Father God, that you are glorified. We give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the precious gifts. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And if you do have, it's like some of the stuff might be new or haven't heard about this, or, you know, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We don't skip over any chapters. It just takes some time to hit the whole word of God. But we're hitting the whole counsel of God. We walk in the full counsel. And sometimes that peace that we need is right here in plain view. And it's just a matter of, okay, Lord, here we go. Just show me what you want me to do and open my ears that I can flow in what you want me to do. So the gifts of the Spirit, guidance, accountability. Again, next week we're going to be looking at specifically what they are. We're going to take all nine of them. We'll give you an example of what they look like in real life, where faith meets real life with each of these gifts. And I believe you're going to see again, man, I've gotten on the edge of some of this stuff already. But praise God. So if you do have questions that you want to follow up with me individually, personally, feel free to reach out. I'm glad to walk you through this. I was raised in a Lutheran upbringing, and I didn't know any of this, and I had to reach out, and I had to get some clarification on some things and walk through it. So it's not like this isn't my heritage, I'll put it that way. It's something that I've grown up spiritually to find that this is true. This is the Word of God. So amen. Praise God.